because we will look at that. We're looking at the first few verses this morning. Excuse me, I'm going to have a drink. Now, why are we doing Psalm 23? I like starting a new series. I like thinking about what we will do next as well. And basically, we're looking at Psalm 23 to bring balance, really, to the preaching. We are to preach the whole counsel of God. It's not always right that we hear sermons on go and do, sort yourself out, get your life sorted. Nobody can cope with those type of sermons. We need to hear those, but not all the time. And over the past weeks, we've been looking at Philippians. We've been looking at what it means to shine like stars in the universe. We've been looking at Christian character and Christian conduct. It's very much been about us. So what I want to do is to go into the Old Testament now to bring the balance between the old and the new. But these series of sermons which we will look at, they'll last about 6 weeks. They'll take us up just before Christmas. And I want to view these sermons as pampering for us. I came across this on a website. Women do this, men don't so much do this. Whenever you put the word pampering in Google, you'll see women dressed in dressing gowns with Prosecco and rose petals somewhere in the equation. And the simple truth is, we need this in life. Women maybe are better at it than men, I don't know, look after yourself. But life is stressful, life is hard. There are so many knocks, the weather, family, pressures, finance, health, you name it. And they can weary us in life. And this is obviously a church that's doing a pamper session. But we're looking at a spiritual pamper session. Psalm 23 is a great psalm. It's not about what we do. It's all about what he does. But it's what he does for us. He pampers us. He leads us beside quiet waters. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us. He guides us. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So see this as a spiritual pampering for yourself. But it's not so much about you and what you need to do. Because most of my sermons will be like that. That's my natural default type of sermon. We need to do, we need to press on. This psalm is not that. This psalm is where you lie back and the love of the Lord just comes upon you. So I pray that this series, you will enjoy this, but you will enjoy your God as the Lord himself draws close to you and reminds you that you are his sheep. And he loves you and he cares for you. So let's just ask for the Lord's help as we begin this series together. Our loving Father, we thank you for this great psalm. But Father, we thank you for the truth that this psalm has. And Father, we praise and thank you that we as your sheep know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour and as our good shepherd. So Father, lead us, we pray. We gather as a needy people, perhaps as a restless people, perhaps as a weary and wandering people. But Father, we pray that as we come to hear your word, that we would hear it and receive it as it is, the word of God to his people. So Father, if it's not too out of place to ask, we pray that you would pamper us, Lord, and remind us of our lofty position as we consider our relationship with you, that great shepherd of the sheep. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're looking at this psalm, and it's a great psalm. Apart from the Lord's Prayer, Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known portion of Scripture. Christians know this psalm very well. Non-Christians know this very well. Many people claim it as their favourite psalm. Ministers, pastors, minister from this psalm to people going through a hard time, going through times of difficulties, through times of suffering, and even through times leading to death and hospices and so forth. It's a very, very important psalm. It's a very intimate, it's a very personal psalm. But one of the good things about the psalm is this, is the Lord communicates to us very effectively through this psalm. When the Lord wants to communicate to his people or to anyone, he often uses images and metaphors and symbols and things that we can associate with. They cross cultures, they cross decades and centuries. And although this was written many years ago, we can relate to this. And although we are inner city London, we can relate to the relationship of sheep and shepherd. We know something about that relationship, the shepherd caring for the sheep. And this is especially of all the images that are used in Scripture, this has to be one of the most common, where the Lord relates to himself as the shepherd towards the sheep. You will find in Scripture the mention of sheep 176 times, lambs are mentioned 164 times, and shepherds are mentioned 80 times. And one of the clearest times you will have this is in Psalm 23. And in this psalm, we see the relationship of a shepherd to his sheep. It shows us our relationship to God and how God relates to us. And the psalm is written by David from the perspective of the sheep. It's written as a sheep regarding his shepherd. And it tells us something about us. Sheep are one of the most independent of all creatures. Even the image is very good. It's almost as if the Lord says, at some point I'm going to have to communicate to those I have created. I think I'll make a sheep that shows the same characteristics of them, and then they'll get what I'm talking about. It's amazing how in many ways we resemble sheep. We are very independent. Sheep, left to themselves, will quickly bring harm to themselves. They need assistance in almost every area of their life. They can't provide their own food. They have to be taken to the food and so forth. They have no horns or any means to defend themselves. They are very vulnerable creatures. They need care and protection day and night. And without the shepherd, sheep can do next to nothing. And it's the same for us as Christians, to acknowledge that afresh. Apart from the shepherd, we can do nothing. We need his care day by day. Sheep are also prone to wander, and they can be very stubborn. If you've ever seen a sheep trying to be helped, the only way that they can get helped is to take the feet from under them. And then they're docile, then you can dip them, you can inject them, you can do whatever. But until that time, they will fight ferociously with you. That is a pattern of us. Sometimes the Lord takes the feet from us, and it's the only time we become submissive before him. We resemble sheep in so many ways. And therefore, this is very applicable to us this morning. As we do this series, I want to recommend to you a couple of books. This book here by Douglas Macmillan. I think he was Scotsman, shepherd at one time before he went into ministry, and written. This was a series of addresses that he gave at a conference. There's a very well-known one. Another, probably the most well-known one, is this one by Philip Keller, not Tim Keller, and Classic Millions. They are very similar, and which is quite reassuring. These two were shepherds, and they write as ministers with a shepherding background. They are good to expand on Psalm 23, and there are great similarities between two books. You wouldn't need to buy two, but you can buy one or other. I have the books here. This is the Lord Our Shepherd. Look, it's a wee thin one. I commend this. In fact, you probably don't have to buy this because I'm going to quote a lot from it during this series. It's a great wee book, but that's it there. You can have a look. There's the Keller one, and here are three others on Psalm 23. This one here's a rather weighty one, but I'll put them there, and you can have a look. And I commend, as I says, the Douglas Macmillan book to you as well. So let's look at the psalm. Let's look at this psalm together. It's a very personal psalm where David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he talks about his soul and the Lord leading him. It's a personal psalm. It's not just about the church generally. It's about you as the Lord deals with you as well. It's been suggested that perhaps David wrote this while he was a shepherd. But it's more likely that it was written by David when he's older, and he looks back over his life. And it's only as he looks back over his life that he can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He did this, he led me, he did all these things in my life." And most of the lessons, or most of the things that we will look in this book, in this psalm, will come through experience. You will learn them. You don't get them all at once. But the Lord works in this way day by day. And sometimes it takes us a long time to look back and say, "You know, the Lord has been good. The Lord has been faithful. He's led and guided me." And he looks back on his relationship. He reflects on his relationship with the Lord and likens it to that with a sheep to shepherd. He brings out these illustrations and they help us understand this shepherd-sheep relationship. So first of all then, let's ask the question before we look at the points themselves. Who is the shepherd? David says right away, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is the David shepherd? It is the Lord. And you'll notice the word is in capitals, L-O-R-D, which means a covenant name for the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. And it's that holy, that sacred name of the Lord. It was the name that was first given to Moses in Exodus 3. What is your name? I am the Lord. It just means I am who I am. The all-sufficient one, the Lord Almighty. And this is his name. And after Exodus, it was mentioned, this name is mentioned 4,000 times in the Old Testament. It's an important recognition of who the Lord is, the Lord Almighty. But Jesus, you remember, took this upon himself as the Son of God who came among us. And you remember that Jesus took on even the title, I am Lord. And you remember when he says this, he says, I tell you the truth, John 8, 58 and 59, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. To us, it's just a sentence. But to a Jew, they knew exactly what Jesus was saying, such that he felt they should be put to death because of blasphemy. And so Jesus is the I Am, the Lord spoken of here. And then we see it clearer in John 10, that great passage in John chapter 10. A well-known passage where Jesus says it plainly, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Jesus was very much applies this to himself. He is the shepherd. To you and I, it might be, well, he's just saying, but the people in Jesus' day would have known what he was saying when he says he is the good shepherd. He's making himself equivalent with God himself. And he is the shepherd. All the shepherding passages relate to him. And he is the shepherd. And that's so important to note right at the start. Because to further understand who the shepherd is, we need to look at the context of Psalm 23. It comes after Psalm 22 and before Psalm 24. And Psalm 22 paints a very important picture of the shepherd, a further picture. And it's one of the suffering shepherd. Look at Psalm 22 verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? I am a worm and not a man. Verse 6 and 8. All who see me mock, they hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. And then verse 17 and 18 of Psalm 22. I count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast their lots for my clothing. This is very plainly the Lord himself. If you know anything of the Gospels and the Lord's crucifixion, this speaks of the suffering shepherd. The shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. It is that shepherd that we are considering. The shepherd who died for the sheep. And that is so important. And Jesus loves the sheep. Jesus in John 10 says that the hired man runs away. He doesn't care for the sheep. But Jesus cares for the sheep. He loves the sheep. Douglas MacMillan in his wee book mentions a shepherd, they're not often paid very much. They weren't paid a great deal. And sometimes the owner of the sheep would give a lamb as part payment to the shepherd. And it was the shepherd's own lamb. He had other lambs. He was caring for the owner's sheep. But this was his lamb. And Douglas MacMillan would often say that in an auction, when the lambs are coming in, the auctioneer would say, and this one is the shepherd's lamb. This is his lamb. And he would say grown men would stand there with tears in their eyes as their lamb is given up for sale. It was that no other lamb was cared for as much as that shepherd's lamb. He belonged to, the other sheep belonged to, this was his lamb. And as we come to this psalm, the Lord would remind us, you are His sheep. You are the sheep for whom He died, for whom Psalm 22. In other words, you cannot come to Psalm 23 unless you know something of Psalm 22. If you don't know what Psalm 22 is all about, Psalm 23 is not for you. It really isn't for you. I do funerals for many people. I've done them for non-Christians. Can we do Psalm 23? And I go, oh dear. How do you know the Lord is your shepherd? Do you know the shepherd? I remember once there was a story told about somebody, a big gathering, and an actor standing up and reciting Psalm 23. And it was very eloquent, sounded very good. Read it well, and then somebody stood up who's a Christian, who knows the shepherd, comes across very differently. I want to ask you, do you know the Lord is your shepherd? Do you know that He died to save you? Do you know that you needed to be saved from your sins? That's why Jesus died on the cross, to take the punishment that you and I deserve. If you don't know anything of that, this won't be so personal to you. But for Christians, we know Psalm 22. We understand it. And because of that, we embrace Psalm 23. And you cannot come to it otherwise. And Jesus is that shepherd. He is the shepherd who died for the sheep. And we are very special. Douglas MacMillan talks about sometimes that he has a batch of sheep and they're not particularly good quality. And they have to buy a good quality sheep to mate with them, to increase the quality of the sheep. And he says, when you buy one of those sheep, you look after those sheep. Because you hardly get any sleep, he says. You're wondering. You don't maybe care about the other sheep, but you care about that sheep. That sheep's cost you a lot of money. Remember, Peter says, we were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Son of God. Know this morning, that you are precious to Him this morning. He saved you at great personal cost to Himself. And if a shepherd hardly gets any sleep looking after a good quality sheep, how much more? He died to save you. Is He going to let you come to harm? So that is, Jesus says, I myself, or the Lord says in Ezekiel 34, which I was reading just before I prepared this, the Lord says in Ezekiel 34, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Ezekiel 34, 31, a phrase I'd never seen before, although I've read it many times. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture. It's the only time you'll find those two words together. Human sheep. We are His human sheep of His pasture. Ezekiel 34, 31, and I am your God, declares the Lord. And then you have Psalm 24, this ascended and victorious shepherd. Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. So here we see then Psalm 22, the shepherd. There are the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Somebody's called Psalm 24. The great shepherd who's coming again. And Psalm 23, the chief shepherd, the one who cares for us. And that is how he relates to us today. As Christians, we have heard his voice. We have repented, we have believed, and we love the shepherd. There's a great picture of Douglas MacMillan standing watching the sheep with his brother, and he says he was looking at some, admiring some, and despairing at others. And as he's standing there with his hands at his side, a bit like this, one of the sheep come up and put its nose in his hand, and he was startled to see this, and he recognised the sheep. A bit weird for me, I must confess, he recognised the sheep, but he recognised this was a sheep that he cared for the first 6 months of its life. And he fed it, he bottle fed this thing, looked after it, and when it was all finished, this sheep walked with him the whole time. And he hadn't seen this sheep for 3 years, and there was this sheep come up to him and put its nose in his hand, and he said, I was thrilled. He was a sheep that hadn't forgotten me after 3 years. I pray that as we look at this together, that you will come up and you will put your nose in his hand and say, it's me. Remember me. Remember the one that you died for. I am the one whom you love. And it may be that you're serving the Lord out of duty. That's a dreadful thing. To serve the Lord out of delight. and to delight in him. Do you love me? Jesus says, because he loves you. And I pray that as we begin this, and I want to go through these points very quickly, that you'll come up and just want to put your nose in his hand and say, it's me, remember me. And the Lord surely will, and he knows us, and he cares for us. So I want to look at the first three verses very quickly under the title Spiritual Restoration. That is where we're going this morning. And really, the three verses that it culminates in verse 3, he restores my soul. And I want to look at this under three headings. Here is a great picture of the shepherd restoring his sheep in some way through weariness and so forth. And as I says, we need to be pampered. We need to be refreshed in life. We need to know that he loves and cares for us and can take care of us. So how does he do this? We note three things. First of all, we note, if this will come up, rest. He gives us rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. If you, Lucille and I did, we stayed on a farm. It was a sheep, mostly the farm only dealt with sheep. And so for 3 or 4 years, it was great to be able to just watch sheep. We watched them the whole time. Pretty clueless. We came from Glasgow. And I remember when it was raining, Lucille says, what will we do? I says, what do you think? Bring the sheep into the lounge and say, we've got your sheep here. Well, what do we do with them? And it was just a learning curve for us. But watching sheep and how they behave and how they relate to the shepherd was very helpful indeed. So first of all, we see that most of the time that they're on their feet, they're eating the grass. It's a great picture to see a sheep lying down. It's very difficult for sheep to lie down. They're very restless animals. They're mostly on their feet. Even at 3 a.m, it used to be dark and you come out and they're still eating the grass. And strange. And Douglas MacMillan and others, I think even Keller as well, mentions 4 things that will stop a sheep from lying down. I'll give you them as the letter F. Fear. A sheep won't lie down if it's frightened. If there's a threat to the sheep, it won't lie down. It will stay in its feet. And that's fairly obvious. Another one is friction. Tension between sheep. A bossy sheep. A sheep that wants to dominate you. And children are like that, aren't they? Mummy, daddy, he's giving me grief. He's pulling my hair. And there's something even within human nature that causes us to do this with each other. Fear, friction, flies. Small irritations that stop you from lying down. Insects that they're back on their feet again. Famine, hunger. If a sheep's hungry, it will obviously be on its feet and it will start to graze. Now, what are we to make of this as Jesus' sheep this morning? Because we're told here, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It doesn't mean he forces us down by brute force, but he works in such a way that we find we can rest, that we're striving and weariness and wandering ceases, and the Lord deals with perhaps these things. Fear, a fearful situation. It might be Monday or Tuesday of this week or the future and you're worried about that. Sometimes the Lord just comes alongside you by his Holy Spirit and gives you a peace that passes understanding, that doesn't make sense, and that you don't even deserve. And the fear dissipates because you know and you feel that he is in control. Even though you don't know what's going to happen, you see him and he is in control. And that makes you lie down. It makes you rest. Fear. We have a fresh vision of God and his sovereignty and who he is. He gives us a fresh vision of who he is and his felt presence. And we know that things are in control. And we learn this through life, to be less fearful perhaps. He makes us lie down. Tension. Sometimes in life it's not situations, it's people. That can be a great source of tension. Just someday. I'm sure if you just thought just now, Lord, I wish you would deal with them. If it wasn't for them, my life would be a bit easier. Your boss or a situation, tension with other people, just on your case, giving you grief. The Lord is able to deal with such. The Lord is able to speak to them and often sort out that situation. The Lord is often able to speak to us and say, You are the coppers. And he's able to work in us as well, to deal with people irritations, to sort out problems. Sometimes we have to go and see somebody, if there's a bossy sheep, and deal with that situation, that we might know peace. And the Lord is able to lead us through that process, tensions, or with other sheep, friction. Flies, a restlessness can sometimes come through minor irritations, small things in life. I think it's amazing how many times the Lord must do this in our life. Just deal with wee things that if they came our way, we'd be so restless. The flies in our life, the wee things that the Lord just keeps away from us and protects us and looks after us in that way. And hungry. Sometimes we become restless because we're feeding where we shouldn't feed. We're looking for satisfaction in other things. And when we come to the Lord and we know our love and our joy and peace in Him, then we're fed. Then we lie down. Then we can rest. And the Lord is able to do this. He's able to do this through practical intervention, through inner strength, through inner witness, through His Holy Spirit. And the Lord is able to give us rest from these four F's, these four things, fear and fatigue or famine or whatever, and flies. The Lord is able to do these things. Secondly, He is able to give us refreshment. It is not enough that we just become docile. Sometimes we need the rest. You need the pampering. You go in. You don't expect to spend the rest of your life sipping Prosecco in a dressing gown and being massaged. You know at some point it has to end and you have to go on with work. Refreshment is part of this. Refreshment. What does it say? He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep need to rest, but they also need to drink. And sheep are unlike cows and horses. They will only drink out of quiet water. A horse will drink out of running water. It's almost as if sheep are frightened of noisy water. And Douglas Macmillan mentions this, taking the sheep and going, and there's a stream, and they all, he knew that they were parched. They'd been out for some time. Not one of them drunk. He took them somewhere else, to a lake or whatever, and there, every one of them started to drink. There's something sometimes in our life when we strive against many things, and the Lord needs to take us to quiet waters. Now, what does this mean for us as the Lord's people? Often in the Bible, water is used as the activity of the Holy Spirit. That refreshment that comes through Him, I think that's exactly what this means. He leads me beside quiet waters, means He fills me with His Spirit and He regenerates me. Remember Isaiah, I will pour water on the thirsty land, streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants, and they will spring up like grass in a meadow. Jesus says in John 7, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit who was yet still to come. Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have a well within you. We can quench him. But only when we walk with the Spirit, we know something of this refreshment, something of this empowerment to go on and to go on, to rise up from onto our legs, as it were, and to begin to proceed. And refreshment is often linked to this. Douglas Macmillan also talks about receiving a call from someone to say that he saw a sheep, and the sheep was in a ledge. And sure enough, when he got there, the sheep, because they get into the weirdest places, it was on this ledge, and he could see by the amount of grass that was eaten that the sheep had been there for some time. And what had happened was the sheep had simply just been eating. And it's a dangerous thing because they need to get to the water at some point. He took the sheep home, and within 2 days, the sheep died. And he cut open its stomach, he says, and he found this massive ball of grass in its stomach. It's simply eaten and had never been refreshed. It needed to drink water. And the Holy Spirit needs to come to us. We need the rest where the Lord helps us in the difficulties, but we need the refreshment when He draws close to us through His Holy Spirit. And we have the quiet things in our life. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, self-control. Aren't those the nice things? There's no stress in those things. I love those qualities. I want more of that. I don't want to live a life of stress and running about. I want to rest. I want to know the Lord's dealing in my life. But I need the refreshment, the joy that comes through believing in Him. And Jesus mentioned that to the woman at the well, didn't he? When she was stressed, she was with somebody who wasn't her husband, her life was a bit of a mess, and she says, give me something to drink. And he says, if you knew who's asking you, I could give you living waters. Give me this. Give me these living waters that I might not have to keep doing this. We need these living waters. We need the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life to lead us beside quiet waters, to resource us, to give us that peace and strength. And we need this. So He gives us rest and refreshment. He does this every day. He refreshes us. He gives us rest. But also restoration. He restores my soul. Sheep can become weary. And sad to say, sheep can wander. We can wander spiritually. We can wander in our hearts and in our minds. Douglas Macmillan talks about sheep that are cast or coped. It's a sheep that's going about its business, and for whatever happens, it ends up on its back. It's cast in that position. When it's on its back, it can't get up. And the only way that it can be righted again is for the shepherd to come and to get it back on its feet and get it mobilised again. It's a dangerous position that sheep can get themselves into. It's called cast. They're cast in that position. And he says it's dangerous because gases begin to build up in the sheep, and they choke the blood supply, and the sheep dies in that position. And it's a terrible position to be in. And sad to say, we can sometimes wander, even as Christians, even as the best of Christians. We can wander in our hearts. Sometimes we can wander far. Sometimes we can wander not so far, but we can still wander. And your heart might be on the mountaintop this morning, but last week it was in the valley. We know times where we wander as sheep, and we don't always walk with the Lord as we should. But Jesus, you remember, takes great delight in bringing wandering sheep back to Himself. You remember Luke 15, the person who had 100 sheep and one went astray. And he says, shepherd forgets them and goes after the one sheep that's not walking with the Lord as he could. And he says he goes after the sheep until he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on its shoulders and goes home. He calls his friends and neighbours and he says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And the Lord loves to restore His wandering sheep. Know that this morning. The devil would say to you, oh, you've wandered from Him. You don't know the rest and relaxation or refreshment because you've wandered from the Lord. There may have been a time in your life that was the case, but your heart isn't as devoted as it should be. You've not been a faithful sheep like that one with its nose in His hand, walking close to Him. You've taken your standards from others. And the Lord says, come back to me. I'll come to you. I'll find you. I'll bring you back. And He does this gently. It's great. You remember Hosea, when the people were guilty of adultery and wandering away. The Lord says in Hosea 2, therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There she will sing in the days of her youth when she came up out of Egypt. He says this to Christians restoring other believers. Brothers, you are caught in a sin. If someone is caught in a sin, sorry, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. This is the heart of the Lord. Wandering sheep, His desire is always to restore us gently back to Himself. He knows we are weak and we are frail and we are apt to wander. He knows how we are made, and His desire is to restore us. So what we said, life is very difficult. It can be wearisome. It can be worrying. It can be draining. It can be very difficult. It's a struggle. Sometimes we think, I can do it. I don't need pampering. I'm okay. The Lord would say otherwise. John, you're weak. You're up to stray. You need rest. You need refreshment. You need restoration. And here is a psalm that David looks back on his life. And he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. He is my shepherd. And he says, he leads me, or he makes me lie down in green pastures. He gives me rest. I've known rest in my life. Do you know the rest of the Lord? On perhaps a daily, on a regular basis. Just him ministering to you, removing the stresses and strains, or are you so wound up and you've been like that for 6 months, you're ready just to pop your cork? Do you know the rest on a daily basis? Do you know that time of refreshment when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're quiet in your soul and in your heart as you walk with him? And do you know those times of restoration when perhaps in your heart and mind, maybe not physically, maybe nobody can point the finger, but you know you've wandered from him? May the Lord help us over these coming weeks to see how he relates to us. And may we know something of this, even this week. Rest from all our weariness and troubles as we rest in him, and refreshment and restoration. Let's close by singing together our closing hymn. It's The Lord's My Shepherd. Surprise, surprise. It's a great...